Not available tonight. It comes down low. Hits all alone. Stopped by Hill. Sprawling save. Haskinen. They score! Joe Pavelski! A power play goal! And the Stars are still alive.
Why, yes, they are, but just barely. The Dallas Stars staving off elimination last night in the Western Conference Finals in the Stanley Cup Playoffs. 3-2 was the final in overtime. That was the game winner. Vegas still up 3-1. Game 5 tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. We'll talk some K-State, KU baseball, Royals baseball, also the Celtics. Can they do what two other sports teams have done in Boston sports history? We'll discuss that. Plus LeBron James. Is his injury legitimate? We'll ask that question and we'll see if we can try to answer that coming up in a little bit. But first, we had softball. We can put a wrap on the season for our area teams with softball now. There is a team in the North Central Activity Association that is still playing today in softball. And then state track and field, we already heard one report, and we're going to hear from a couple of coaches from the area as well. So I throw it to Dusty to handle the local portion of our show.
3A state softball there in Manhattan last night. The Blitt-Letty Trojans saw their season come to a close. 5-0 loss to Santa Fe Trail in the first round. It was a scoreless game through four, but the Letty Chargers put up four in the fifth, and they added another run on a homer in the sixth for the 5-run victory. Get a great season for Beloit. They made it to the state tournament for the second time in program history, but fell a little bit short there yesterday. But still a great season at 20-4 for the Letty Trojans. They have a very young team, so they'll have a lot of girls back coming up next year for this Beloit Trojan softball team, and the future does look bright still for them. But again, tough loss there last night, 5-0 to Santa Fe Trail, finishing their year at 20-4. Again, on the bottom side of the bracket, Southeast of Saline is still alive. They picked up a 1-0 win over Burlington, a walk-off single to end it as Southeast of Saline won there in the bottom of the seventh. Again, a 1-0 finish over Burlington, and Southeast moves on to the semifinals today. They'll play at 11 o'clock this morning on Field 1 at Twin Oaks Complex there in Manhattan against Rossville. So that's a look at how everything's going there. Haven against Santa Fe Trail in the other semifinal at 11 o'clock this morning there in Class 3A. I think going into it, most people thought Haven was the favorite, and they're looking pretty good early on as well with the 17-2 win in the first round over Scott City yesterday. So again, Haven moving on, and Southeast Saline is on against Rossville coming up here at 11 o'clock this morning. So again, check all that out. If you missed the bracket or missed any of that info, you can check out ncksports.com. 3A state softball bracket is posted there. So again, we do have state track and field here today and a lot of area athletes that are competing. I can tell you Grace Williams just finished seventh place in the girls shot put in Class 1A. We'll have a deeper report as we go on throughout the day. And Tori Slavic of Thunder Ridge finished in 13th place since our last report there in that 1A girls shot put. So that's where we're at as far as state track and field is concerned here this morning. A lot of area athletes out in field events. Again, we're keeping an eye on the Blitt-Letty Trojans. 15 opportunities to get points. It doesn't look like they're going to get anything in the girls javelin, but still an opportunity obviously for throws and track events, 4x1s. They've got hurdles. They've got a 100-meter dash qualifier internationally, night for state. So a lot of different athletes in long jump, at triple jump as well for Beloit. The girls have an opportunity here this weekend to maybe bring home a state trophy and maybe bring home a state championship. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that from Ryan Isbell coming up shortly here on the Sports Ticket. So, again, we have reports throughout today for a full look at all the area athletes that are competing by time schedule and by school. It's sorted. There's a document there at ncksports.com that I'm updating as live as possible, and you can find out where your favorite athletes are competing and how they've done so far in those events that they are competing in. So again, also you can find a link to live results there and the state time schedule. Everything's posted there at ncksports.com. So I'll get you up to date on what's going on here in track and field today and tomorrow, the final event of the spring sports season here in the area. So state track and field rolling on. Again, I had a chance to talk with a couple coaches leading into the state track and field championships, and these interviews are posted on our sports podcast at katycountry94.com as well. But I had a chance to talk with Coach Isbell of Boy and Coach Steve Tiernan of Osborne. And welcome back on the Sports Ticket on Kitty Country 94. Ryan Isbell, coach of the Bullet Trojan track and field teams, joining us. Coach, kind of as expected, you have a lot of throwers headed to state this weekend. And on the girls' side, you've got Dakota Gray in the hurdles and also the high jump. And Ashlyn Knight and Brecken Boudreau have qualified for state as well. Just a few of the girls that are headed there for you. Just overall, as you look at your team and headed to state, how do you feel about regionals and getting these athletes to the state meet and then how they stack up when they get to Wichita?
Yeah, as we previewed the regional meet a week ago, we kind of alluded to the fact that we talk about it every year about us being in a really, really difficult regional, and that was no different last week. And we got through pretty much just about everybody we thought we would. We ended up with a couple fifth-place finishes of some kids we thought were kind of borderline of being able to qualify for state. And we got the two boys going, so Eli Johnson and Grady Seifert, both in the shot put and the discus. They qualified them both, and their chances going in, they look pretty good. Grady's kind of been at the top all year long, and I know he's been pretty driven and motivated with his eyes set on this meet all year, and his marks put him right up at the top, and Eli's really come along. He's got a really good chance in the shot put with the way he's advanced over the last few weeks. And maybe one of the toughest shot put fields we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking, 52 a lot of years will win state, and 52 this year might not make finals. So it's kind of one of those types of fields. But, the way he's been throwing, I like his chances too. And in the discus also, he's kind of borderline getting into the finals. And if he gets there, I think, he might surprise some people. And then on the girls' side, we qualified 10 girls. You mentioned a few of them, but there's more. So Miley Brown in the long jump, and Ashlyn Loomis in the pole vault. We got a couple in the shot put, Tatum and Addie Budke, a couple in the discus, being Cassandra Thompson and Tatum, and a couple in the long jump, which we already mentioned, Autumn Lorenz, and then Miley Brown. And I'm sure I'm not intending to leave anybody out, but I don't have anything in front of me to go off of. So, and then the 4x1. Team that ended up first at regionals last week with their season best time. So it's a good time to start doing that and hopefully building on that moving forward into this week.
I know you talked about the girls and how many they qualified, but when you kind of look at the rest of 3A, how do you feel about maybe your chances of bringing home a trophy this weekend?
This field is about as wide open as we've seen going into the state meet. A lot of times as you go through the year, there might be a team or two that really kind of stick out and kind of pull themselves away from the pack, and that has not happened this year. We've pointed it out a couple different ways. We pointed it out based on regional placings from last week, and if you do that, there's 6, 7, 8 teams within about 6 points of each other. If you can get to 40, you're looking pretty good, and if you get to 48, you're looking really good. So it's a really, really tight field. We're in the mix of that, so we hope the kids get out and perform and do well. And the funny thing is, we've pointed it out by season best performances also. So not just their regional performance, but what their best mark is on the year. And when we do that, you get different teams that all of a sudden are in the mix. So, and we're still in that conversation also. So, we're really, really young. Of the 10 girls going, only one girl's been there before. So even the couple juniors have not been there, and then you got freshmen and sophomores that are there for their first experience. And I'd like to say it's new to them. A lot of them have been there to watch. It's different, obviously, being down there to perform. But a lot of these girls have been on our volleyball team that's been to state. Some of them have competed in AAU nationals. So they're not completely foreign to the big performance, the big venue. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that helps us out a little bit. And we have so much going on early in the day that, we just want to get the ball rolling. Hopefully a couple good things happen for us and we can just keep rolling with it.
Ryan Isbell, the coach of the Bullet Trojan track and field teams here on Kitty Country 94 on the Sports Ticket. Coach, we thank you for the time and best of luck at state track here this weekend.
Hey, thanks, Dusty.
And we're now joined by Steve Tiernan, the head coach of the Osborne track and field teams, getting set for the state track and field championships at Cessna Stadium. Coach, plenty of athletes that will be competing over the next 2 days there in Wichita, and you had a lot. I know you're talking about relays, and boy, you got a lot of relays that are going to be competing here this week at state, and just field and track more distance than the shorter ones, it looks like. But just overall, how do you feel about the way the kids performed at regional? And what they look like as they head to state here the next couple of days.
As far as regional went, I thought that's kind of how I thought it would go. I mean, we kind of penciled it out, of course, beforehand and said, if you this, then this could happen and blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, everybody did as good or better than what they've done all season. And that's kind of, I mean, that's the meet that you want to peek at for sure is the regional meet. And for the most part, we got that done. So that went really, really well.
Again, just kind of looking at how you stack up maybe with some of the I remember talking with you last week. You're like, you just seem to be right there and being in the right spot with relays. I know some of that might change a little bit once you get down to the state competition. But as that goes and helps out with your team standings, how do you feel your girls and boys stack up with the field here in Class 1A?
Oh, I mean, on paper, probably not all that well. But, mm-hmm. I've been to state track meet enough that strange things happen. And, I mean, all it takes a break here and there. Somebody drop a baton or get DQ'd or something. Hopefully not us. But so who knows there? But yeah, on paper we don't look overly good. I think the girls would have figured would have 26 points, and the boys would have like 15 points if he went by paper. So Thank goodness they don't go just by paper. So we'll go down and compete and see where we end up.
Obviously, a chance, for some PRs that could change some of those type of things if you go out and perform. I know Grace Williams finished second last year in the shot put for you. Gracie Reiner's been real good in the throws this year. Speak a little bit about the way they've been throwing here and the improvements that really Gracie's made throughout the season as well.
Gracie's one that's just, she's always been there. I mean, every year she's been in high school, she's been there in the finals of the javelin. And I mean, there was one year I think she was sitting second going into the last throw and ended up like fourth or something, or like the last three throwers ended up fourth. But she's always been right there, and this year I would say probably more than any other year. I mean, she's just improved as the year's gone along. Her shoulder's fine, so last year we kind of had to pick and choose when she threw, but this year things have gone well, and I mean, it showed. She's just gotten better. Grace Williams, she started out really well, and then for anybody listening that wants to take heed of this, went to a basketball tournament the next weekend, and I'm not picking on Grace, I'm just saying. Sprained her ankle and just has not quite been the same since then. But like I said, the first meet, she threw almost 39 feet farther than she's ever thrown, and that's just kind of set her back. But I think slowly but surely she is coming back, and hopefully she can pop one out there this weekend.
When you take your kids to state, what's the biggest thing that you tell them about this weekend? I know you want to go out and compete and perform well, but what do you hope they take away from it?
Oh, as much as anything, just enjoy it. It is the biggest high school track meet in the United States, actually. We're the only ones that have 1 through 6A together. So, I mean, it's a packed stadium, and it's fun. You don't get that opportunity very often. And then to kind of take the pressure off a little bit, I just say, regardless of how good or poorly you do, you're done. I mean, that's it. There's no more moving on. The big one was last week. Man, that's when I would always get nervous for as an athlete as well as a coach, is just let's get there. And then we get there, see what happens. But just, I mean, they've prepared. You're not going to get a lot better this week, but you could get worse this week. So we kind of focused on that. And just hopefully things come together and they enjoy the experience and do well.
Steve Tiernan, coach of the Osborne track and field teams. Coach, we thank you for the time and best luck to the athletes down at state this weekend.
All right. Thank you.
And again, just underway today, Grace Williams, as I said, we talked about her in that interview there. I wanted to, again, give you the update. She did finish seventh place today at the 1A girls shot put. So that's the latest result that I can tell you about here for Osborne track and field.
All right. We'll keep up with all that with more reports throughout the day and tomorrow for the state track and field championships at Cessna Stadium there in Wichita. Big 12 baseball tournament. K-State winning yesterday over Texas. The number one seed eliminated 0-2. In the tournament as K-State. It's amazing. It's just going to show you baseball. Momentum only carries over based on what your starting pitcher does the next day. K-State was down 8-0 early in the first round of the tournament. TCU lost 16-3 and was run ruled. Yesterday, they only allowed 2 hits. Their entire pitching staff was great. Ty Rule was fantastic. They shut out Texas 6-0, 5 in the seventh to blow it open. And KU lost yesterday. They were run ruled in 8 innings by TCU 14-4. And Oklahoma State eliminated the 3 seed West Virginia. So the 1 and 3 seeds are done. The 1 and 3 seeds in the Big 12 baseball tournament. Arlington didn't win a single game in the tournament. So here's your schedule for today. It is K-State against KU at 3 o'clock. on ESPN Plus, Big 12 Now. Winner moves on to take on TCU tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. The loser is done. And K-State, certainly this would help their resume if they could make it to the semifinals of this tournament, as they seem to be a little borderline for the NCAA tournament. Of course, Kansas, they just want to make a run. Oklahoma State takes on number 7 Oklahoma. Oklahoma State's 2 seed. That's at 6:30 tonight. And Texas Tech awaits the winner of that game tomorrow at 12:30. And then the championship game won't be till 5 o'clock on Sunday from Globe Life Park there in Arlington. So that's an update on the Big 12 baseball tournament. The Royals are back on the field tonight. I know. Contain your excitement. 7:10 is first pitch. They begin a 3-game set with the Nationals, who aren't very good, but neither are the Royals. And the Royals will put out their $17 million man, Jordan Lyles, who was 0-8 with ERA of 7.15. Royals entered the home series at 15-36, Nationals 21-29. Nate Eaton, who was hitting all of .059, has finally been optioned to AAA Omaha. He just has not been able to hit at the big league level, and so he was optioned down after the Wednesday loss to the Tigers. Royals had yesterday off. NBA playoffs, the Celtics making things interesting.
Off to White, a three.
And that was a big shot, and the Celtics jumped out early on the Heat. And once again, the team that shoots the ball well from three-point land wins every single one of these games in the series. Last night, the Celtics were 16-39 from three. Four Celtics scored 20 or more. Marcus Smart had 23 and four threes. Derek White, as you just heard, one of his six threes. He had 24. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, each with 21. Jimmy Butler took just 10 shots and had 14. Gabe Vincent was out, who's been playing really well for the Heat in this series, out with an ankle sprain. Don't know what his status will be for tomorrow night's game six. Celtics win 110-97. They're now 3-2 trailing Miami in the series. And the Celtics might have the Heat right where they want them now, because the Celtics last year were down 3-2 going to Milwaukee. People said they were dead. They won in Milwaukee, then won game seven in Boston. This year, people thought they were dead. Going to Philadelphia down 3-2, win against Philadelphia in Philly, come back and blow out the Sixers in Game 7. The Heat, I believe, have to win Game 6. Game 7s in Boston Garden just don't go well for the opposing team. And I know the Celtics have struggled at home at times this year, especially in the playoffs. But Game 6 is the Miami Heat's Game 7, because all the pressure in the world now is on the Heat. And all the pressure will be on the Heat, I think, in Game 7. And you may say, well, wait a minute, that's the Celtics have it at home. Yeah, the Celtics have all the momentum. So the Heat need to squash it. Jimmy Butler says he guaranteed it, it's going to be done. We're going to close it in Game 6. So we shall see tomorrow night. But here's one thing that we should point out. The only Major League Baseball team in the history of Major League Baseball to come back from a 3-0 deficit in a best-of-seven series was the Boston Red Sox in 2004. The biggest comeback in Super Bowl history, the New England Patriots, down 28-3 against the Atlanta Falcons, and they are from the Boston area, of course, Foxborough, but it's a Boston type of team. So the greatest comeback in the Super Bowl, the greatest comeback in Major League Baseball playoff history, are both by Boston-oriented teams, and now the Celtics could be the first NBA team to come back from 0-3. So he got to take care of Game 6.
Absolutely.
Wow. It's just, you know, when you look at what the Celtics did last night, balance. They're better when they're balanced.
Absolutely.
Like most teams are.
Yep,
and then all on top of that, the Heat are without Tyler Hero, Victor Oladipo. They've been out for most of the playoffs. But now Gabe Vincent. It's just like you only have so many dudes. So I don't know, man. I'm starting to get this vibe that the Celtics are going to pull this thing off.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to happen, but obviously for my prediction, it helps me if they can make it to the finals. But one sliver of hope.
If Gabe Vincent can't play Game 6 tomorrow night in Miami, and even if he does, how effective will he be? It puts a ton of pressure on Jimmy Butler. And I know he can do it, but he has not played that well himself the last couple games. Heat up 3-2, but I think Miami Heat fans are going to be a little bit nervous about tomorrow night. LeBron James, it's being reported that he played through a torn tendon in his right foot, which may require surgery in the offseason. James will have his foot reevaluated in the near future, and if a surgical procedure is required, it would sideline him for 2 months. James originally injured his foot on February 26th during a regular season game against the Mavericks. On-court cameras caught him saying, "I heard it pop," while he was on the floor. And though he played the remainder of that game, he missed the Lakers' next 13 games. That was February 26th when he got hurt. Upon his return on March 26th, James revealed that multiple doctors suggested he needed season-ending surgery at the time, but he found the LeBron James a feat who helped him return to the court. He played in every single game the rest of the way for the Lakers, helping them get into the play-in tournament as the seventh seed, eventually all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And in the Western Conference Finals, LeBron averaged 28 points, just under 10 rebounds, and 10 assists a game. Lakers are swept by the Nuggets. By the way, the Nuggets got to be really happy the Heat Celtics keep playing because they just continue to rest. Although the Nuggets got to be worried about a game one being rusty after a 9-day layoff. But we'll get to that June 1st. Do you believe that LeBron James actually had a torn tendon in his right foot and he was able to play the way he was able to play? I mean, you watch the way he played in the playoffs. He still drove it to the hoop at times. Not like his younger days, but he's 38. He could still elevate and shoot the three-point shot. He was able to move and take charges. He was able to dunk. He turned his ankle a few times, which I don't know if that's the same foot where he supposedly had the torn tendon. Do you believe LeBron James actually played for 3 months on a torn tendon in his foot when, in basketball, that's a lot of... And then he played all 48 minutes in game... four against the Nuggets, an average, I think, 40-some minutes per game in the series against the Nuggets. Do you believe LeBron James really, truly had a torn tendon in his right foot? Or do you believe maybe it was a painful injury and was he had a sprained foot? But do you really, truly believe that he had a torn tendon in his foot? Do you think it's even possible to do what he did?
When you think about a torn tendon and having it ripped up in your yeah. foot anywhere, right? Like, it doesn't even matter where it's at.
Yeah.
Like, It's hard for me to believe yeah. that he played that kind of basketball.
Yeah, against the greatest guys in the world.
And playing all the minutes in some of these games. Like, it's hard for me to believe. Let's just put it that way.
I think there's a possibility that there's a technicality here from the standpoint that I think when I think of torn tendon, I think it's just ripped.
Yeah.
But I think there's the possibility that maybe he had a slight tear yeah. in the tendon. So that's why they allowed him to keep playing. It's like, oh, dude, it's not completely ripped. And, of course, the pain would be different if it was completely ripped. So I think it's technically possible that it's an accurate report when they say he had a torn tendon. But I think it's kind of exaggerated in a roundabout way when you say torn tendon. You don't say slightly tear or slightly torn. You say torn. And that sounds worse. So I think it's being embellished a little bit, and I think people that are in LeBron's camp are going to embellish it, obviously. And somebody said this the other day. I saw a Western Conference NBA executive, didn't want his name said, but according to somebody, said LeBron is the king of controlling everything. And after the Lakers, who just got swept by the Denver Nuggets, the story should have been they got swept. Not only lost, but got swept. Everybody, for the most part's first thinking was, LeBron, is he going to play? And was he hurt? And how much longer will he play? And LeBron controlled that narrative. By the way, he answered all those questions in that press conference after the game the other night. So this person just was like, LeBron's always in control of the narrative. And here now, to me, is another part of controlling the narrative. Well, it just adds to the lore of LeBron because he played with a torn tendon in his foot and he averaged almost a triple-double against the best team in the NBA. So, yeah, they got swept, but, I mean, you know, it's not LeBron's fault, which it isn't, by the way.
No.
I just think it is interesting, though. I'd like to see the x-rays. I'd like to see how badly torn that tendon is. I can't believe it was completely torn. There's no way. Like, my oldest son said that there's some doctor that is a foot doctor, said there is no way that LeBron James could have played like he did on a completely torn tendon. But there's the key. Was it completely torn or was it just slightly a tear?
Yeah, and I'm sure there's some of those where, you know, you get a slight tear or something, and mm-hmm. the doctors are like, it's not, you're not going to make it any worse.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe not one of those that can just completely debilitate you. and one of those types of injuries. So I would guess, or doctor said, play on it until you can, and if it actually tears all the way, then you're probably going to have an issue. I don't know. I don't know what way you go about that, but I don't. There's not a narrative to me that needs to be controlled right now, though. I mean, the Nuggets were better than the Lakers, and it's just like, I don't know if LeBron needs to be doing mop-up duty here after losing to that team, right? And so, but I guess if you want to come out and say it and say you were hurt and that's why you didn't win, more power to you. But well, it just adds to what we're talking about with maybe the Nuggets not getting respect for me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Like, mm-hmm. It just, it's like, okay, well, the Nuggets swept you because LeBron was hurt. You
right.
Know? That's mm-hmm. what, that's how it comes off.
It does.
Me.
It does.
And it's just add it
it's
to the
list. It's not LeBron saying it, but it's people yeah, close like, to him that leak it.
Add it to the list of reasons why the Nuggets are just not getting the credit they deserve.
No, I totally, totally agree with you. Yeah, it is frustrating. And, you know, Doug Gottlieb made a good point yesterday I saw on social media. And listen, I don't agree with everything Doug Gottlieb, and I know there's some people don't like Doug Gottlieb, but I can be objective enough. Like, listen, I don't like some of the talking heads on TV because I think they become complete shills of their company. But there are some things they'll say from time to time I happen to catch on social media. I'm like, okay, well, that, you know, at least for finally there's at least a decent point that makes some sense. So everybody has their ups and their downs, don't get me wrong. I mean, not everybody agrees with what we say on this show, and you know, not everybody agrees with Charles Barkley and or whoever it might be. But I mean, when I what Doug Gottlieb said was, listen, this is a business, and all this stuff on television for everybody that whines and complains about the Nuggets not getting enough credit, you're right, they're not. And for everybody that's upset that LeBron and the Lakers take center stage over the Nuggets, even though they're the team that got swept and the Nuggets don't get enough credit, you're right. But he said, let me let you in on a little secret. And that is, it's no different than top 40 radio and all kinds of different formats. There's millions of songs to play. Listen, I get frustrated sometimes with our own musical provider, which is one of the reasons why we made a change here recently, is that, you know, the hit songs are the hit songs, but and how many times have you listened to a hit song, ladies and gentlemen, or a new song, and you love it? You absolutely love the song, right? But after about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, when it runs 12, 15 times a day on the radio station that you listen to all day long, don't you get tired of that song after a while?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you keep listening? Well, for our station, I hope you do, but mm-hmm. but maybe you don't. Maybe you switch it. Maybe you do keep listening, and you just deal with it. And Doug Gottlieb saying, hey, that's what, there's millions of songs to pick from, but they play the hot country or the hot AC or the hot rock and roll, the hot alternative, the hot pop music. There's tons more music you can pick. There's no way you should, honestly, there's so many songs in the world, you should never repeat one song all year long, 24 hours a day. There's plenty of songs to where that you could make that happen. But what you do is you play the hits. And the NBA and the coverage of LeBron and Lakers is no different than ESPN's coverage of the Yankees. I mean, when the Yankees aren't if the Yankees aren't very good, I mean, listen, the Yankees get more coverage than the Tampa Bay Rays, and who's the better team? It's not even close.
Yeah.
It's the Rays. I mean, and so there's more coverage of the Yankees and the Red Sox, right? There's more coverage of the Celtics than there is of the Heat during the season. Because the Celtics are, you know, 17 championships. The Lakers, 17 championships. The Lakers have LeBron James made the greatest player of all time. That's the same thing back in the 90s. They played the hits. They played Jordan over and over and over. You know, they played Kobe and Shaq over and over and over. They played Bird and Magic over and over and over way back in the day. They play Mahomes over and over and over. They play the Dallas Cowboys over and over and over, even though I don't think they're America's team. But apparently that helps their ratings. So, you know, why do they keep talking about Tom Brady all the time in New England Patriots? Well, one, they kept winning. That was part of it. But they're also right there in the backyard of Bristol, Connecticut, not too far away from ESPN's headquarters. And other networks also do this as well. So I thought Doug Gottlieb made a very good point. He's like, listen, you don't have to agree with it. You can complain about it. You're absolutely correct in your complaining. You have a point that the Nuggets don't get enough credit. The Tampa Bay Rays don't get enough credit. The Cincinnati Bengals don't get enough credit compared to the Dallas Cowboys. You know, the Cowboys are 9-8. We're sitting here talking about, well, is Dak Prescott going to be back at quarterback? Well, he's not even one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, if not the top 10. But we talk about him more than we talk about. Listen, they talk about Dak Prescott way more than Justin Herbert. And I know which quarterback I think is better.
Yeah.
So It is just the way it is. They talk about Duke basketball more than they talk about K-State basketball, right?
Absolutely.
They just do. That's how it is. KU basketball gets talked about more than K-State does. You know, I mean, K-State football gets talked about more than KU football. And I'm talking about here from in the state perspective. But nationally, Oklahoma and Texas are always going to get more attention than K-State and KU when it comes to football and most sports. You don't have to like it, but it's playing the hits. And it goes back to the brand name thing. The Yankees are a brand. The Lakers are a brand. The Cowboys are a brand. Those are teams that have won lots of championships over the years. And then they usually get the super high-profile players, or they pay and take away the best players from other teams because they can give them hundreds upon hundreds of millions of dollars, especially in baseball. So whether you like it or not, it is, as Gottlieb said, it's just simply playing the hits. You're playing the hits,
yeah,
and you play them over and over. It's no different than your musical playlist you hear on many radio stations. By the way, listen, I listen to radio, but I also have a app where I have some music that I really like to listen to, and there's different formats on that too. Like, I listen to that when I work out at the wellness center as a change of pace, and I can't believe how many times I hear the same dang song, like every day when I work out, and I'm like, I know there's tons more songs to choose from. Why? Mm-hmm. Even on that app, they keep playing the same stuff. Why? There must be some kind of scientific evidence to prove that you play these songs, people are more likely to listen. And if your ratings are good, whether it's radio, TV, or whatever the case may be, why would you change from what you're doing? If you keep talking about LeBron over and over, you keep talking about the Dallas Cowboys, New York Yankees, compared to the other teams that are actually better and deserve more coverage, but as long as people keep eating it up and watching it left and right, and the ratings are where the corporate suits are happy, there's no reason to change.
No.
And that's how it's been for... This isn't something new. It's something that's been happening for decades in sports, and it's the same way with news, by the way. It's no different than news. News is the exact same thing. Why do we keep talking about the same thing month after month and day after day? And, you know, and there's tons of other news stories to talk about and lead with, you know? I mean, the war with Ukraine, I mean, that was top of the mind all the time. Now it's kind of like a side note, isn't it? Why? Yeah. Because ratings apparently went down, people got tired of it, and now we go into scandal. Oh, there's some kind of scandal, or there's some kind of legal thing going on, or of course, as we know, horrible bad things with shootings or whatever. And that's just how the news and sports cycle work. And like I said, you don't have to like it, but Gottlieb's right. It's all about playing the hits.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
All right, anything else to
you
add?
You know why they do it, but it's still infuriating sometimes.
It is,
right?
For those that are tired of it, yes, absolutely. But apparently not enough of us are tired of it.
Yeah.
All right, got another state track and field report coming up in just a minute.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.